see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
What if Jordan went in with the wrong intentions, but it's like how to lose a guy in 10 days? And he's like, at first it was just for my job, but then I really fell in love with you.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
Take a trip back, way, way back to a time when women had to elope, possibly escaping through a window at night if their fathers didn't give permission for their marriages. So like around the 18th century.
Yeah, or like maybe the 1950s. Or apparently 2016 if you live in Joelle Fletcher's Princess Castle, because last night was all about Robbie and Jordan getting her pop's permission to propose, even during the parts of the episode when you think we get a break from it.
No rest for the weary, Claire. Here to talk through the Victorian-style romance of it all with us, we have a very special guest, Olivia Caridi, here. Thanks so much for joining
You're
us, Olivia.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Where even to start? First things first, JoJo introduces both of her gentlemen callers to her parents.
I was really excited to see her family again. I feel like they had a really solid showing during Ben's season. Her mom was drinking champagne straight from the bottle. Her brothers were being overly aggressive. So I was interested to see how they would play it this time.
I was expecting a lot more.
They were very toned down.
I tweeted, like, when are the brothers going to go insane or something? Like, I've been waiting for this for an entire season.
And it's funny because both of these guys are so much douchier than Ben.
Well, that's what I was saying is, like, knowing Ben and knowing he had a problem with or, you know, trouble with the brothers, I was like, how does that
work? You're like, Jordan and Robbie are not going to survive this.
I don't get that. But, you know, it was a very sweet meeting of the family, which I was not expecting.
They were very welcoming to both of them.
It really
makes me feel like her brothers are not really looking for a good guy for her so much as just someone equally doodly as them. They were like, yeah, I get these guys. They've got pecs.
Or maybe they're like, these guys will move to Dallas. They can hang with
us. They're both
great. Yeah.
They have nothing going on.
they'll follow our sister who's much better than them.
Soraya stayed out of the champagne for pretty much the whole duration, which was disappointing because we were all waiting for that. But she had a lot of screen time. She was grilling both the guys.
I enjoyed her. She was like, I'm going to have my moment in the sun. And if anyone's going to ask for permission to marry you, they better ask me as well. I was like, I appreciate that.
I liked her. She was cool.
She was the only person who felt that way, though.
They're all like, shut up, Mom.
Yeah.
Quiet.
So apparently what happens is Robbie asks for permission, and he very kindly invites Soraya to be present to witness him asking her husband for their daughter's hand in marriage. He's like,
I want her
to be there when I ask Dr. Fletcher for, which, by the way, she is also a doctor, but we'll let that pass for now. But he's like, I want her to be there when I ask for her daughter's hand in marriage. And then apparently Jordan does not ask in so many words.
Ew. And fatal mistake.
JoJo is horrified.
Jordan did bring funny hats for the whole family, though.
And that's
that
a way.
Is not.
That's
why
a way
were they
of
not
asking.
The cheese hats, like the Packers cheese hats.
He's like, I want to avoid all associations with my family.
He can't have a cheese hat when there's a rift.
I just wanted a cheese hat.
Yeah, I mean, we all want a cheese hat, Olivia. But
I
like,
have one.
You know,
so
you don't get a cheese hat until the gulf has been mended.
Until Aaron Rodgers is part of the family.
Right, right. You must reach out to Olivia Munn before you get a cheese hat.
I love it. So JoJo is asking her dad, wait, what do you mean he didn't ask in so many words? What did he say? And Soraya says, well, he didn't ask me. And she's like, Mom, I don't care. Like, I'm asking Dad. And Soraya's like, well, he should have asked me too. And JoJo's like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, no one cares about your feminism right now. Yeah. No one cares what you think.
I feel like that was the first sign that she just liked Jordan so much more than Robbie.
Definitely.
She got so upset when anything with the Jordan date or the Jordan meeting of the parents didn't go perfectly. Because she seemed to be looking for any justification that, like, yes, I can choose this guy. He's going to be stable. He's going to be in this. And then he, like, just continuously fucked it up.
Oh, all the time. And I'm like, I'm not really into, you know, societal standards and all that. So I'm totally cool with asking the mom to, like, I'm all about it. That's fine. I thought that was, like, I thought Robbie did great there. People were like, well, why was she involved? I'm like, oh, that's great. I don't.
Well, she was present.
She was present.
She was not asked.
I mean, even like when Jordan
called. She was invited
called,
to be there.
Yeah. Even when Jordan called and asked permission, she was like, I'll speak on behalf of the family. Yes, we're.
I like that Jordan, well, we'll get to that, but Jordan eventually did fully include her.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of funny that there was so much emphasis on asking her dad, and he was the least involved family member the whole time.
Right, like, you're like, the brothers are like, and her protecting mom are way more vocal.
Yeah. Her mom was like, I want to make sure that you're going to treat my princess the right way, and her dad's just sitting there kind of smiling the whole time, like, where am I? What's going on?
He did get a little choked up towards the end.
Yeah, he cried. It was cute.
I think he finally figured out what was going on. Someone clued him in.
It was cute.
He was like, oh, this Robbie guy.
Yes. They really liked Robbie. No one had told them about Robbie's ex-girlfriend.
No.
They said something like, Robbie's the kind of guy that you would want your daughter to be with in the long run. And I was like,
like, no one forced them to read Reality Steve before they came on.
I wonder if a certain other young lady's parents feel that way now that he's dragging her name through the mud on national television.
Oops.
Well, I'm sure they're watching that back being like, she did all right.
Yeah, bullet dodged.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that little scene where she's sobbing on her parents' shoulders and her older brothers are sort of vocalizing how she's feeling. I was like, wow, this is what it must be like to be like the baby princess of the family. It was so adorable. She was like, I just want to be sheltered and protected. And they were like, this is what we're here for. Like, come to us, baby bird.
We will support you.
I know. Yeah. They do clearly love her a lot.
Yeah. And her sister was just sitting there like, oh. So that was a kind of interesting family dynamic. You got kind of a sense of how JoJo is used to being protected and taken care of. And yet somehow she hasn't found that in her relationships yet in all of her 24 years of living. It's been a long road.
25.
She's so old. Finally, it seems like, you know, both the dates go well enough. I mean, the parent dates. Both the guys make a decent enough impression. But they think Jordan might be kind of a playboy.
Right. They prefer Robbie because Robbie is so earnest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything that he says feels like a Hallmark card, like a part of a Hallmark card that he's strung together into a complete sentence.
I totally agree. Or just like a giant Hallmark movie, like every scene with him. I'm just like, am I watching a Hallmark movie right now? Or
you're like, this is, I mean, it's
which
honestly
I love
impressive.
Hallmark movies. Yeah. I love them. Yeah. I watch them a lot every Christmas.
Yeah. Otherwise, how would you know?
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Her brother says something to JoJo like, oh, you're not picking a New Year's Eve date. You know, you're picking a husband. You have to think about everything that goes along with that. You
what
know?
Goes like, into a New Year's Eve date? I've never, like...
Being fun, I guess.
I guess. I'm like, you don't want to date just for New Year's Eve. Like...
I've never done
I mean,
that.
I would take that. I've never had one, so yeah. I wouldn't
I just
no.
think that sounds like a burden. Like, don't you just want to spend New Year's Eve with your friends? Like,
I've had a
date
for New Year's Eve once, and now I'm marrying him, so I'm doing it all wrong. It was our second date, though.
I love that.
Not a great time to have a second date, by the way.
Oh, okay. Duly noted.
It was a little weird. A lot of couples. I wouldn't get too excited about it.
I'm not. It's fine. It's okay. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so the family makes a great showing. Jill Biden at Jill Biden Veep tweeted, JoJo's mom is the Chris Harrison we deserve, and I completely
agree. I support Soraya for Bachelor Nation therapist.
Yeah.
Ooh, good
she,
idea.
She was on point.
She probably could have helped me a lot.
Yeah, she seems nurturing.
She could have nurtured me.
Yeah. Mm. She would just be like, you are a princess and you will be queen.
You will be
like,
a queen.
Before Thank you. This day is over, you will be queen. I swear it.
In her beautiful lilting accent. It would
know,
be
the
very
accent
soothing.
Is great.
Oh, it's yeah. great. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the dates. First date is Robbie.
All I remember is the meatloaf
God,
conversation.
I was literally just about to say that. All I remember is meatloaf. And the faint sound of children in the background. Clearly, you don't get parenthood too much. I mean, faint sound of children in the background. Children are never faint.
Yeah, they've been like, locked in the basement. Works. That's why.
We might need to call child protective
You're
services.
Like, kids, we're trying to make meatloaf.
We just want to sit on the couch and drink our Sauvignon Blanc.
White wine.
And smell our overcooked meatloaf.
Do people still... make meatloaf?
That was the most random thing. Like at least overcooked chicken parmesan or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
I do not want to pair meatloaf with my white wine.
It's the kind of thing that someone like Robbie would say. It's something he doesn't cook and he doesn't cook with women. He remembers being served dinner by his mom. And that's something that he probably was served when he was a kid by his mom. And he was meatloaf. Like, oh, like, we'll grow up and, like, cook meatloaf together because, like,
but
that's
then
a
burn
thing.
It and then order pizza.
Right.
And then order pizza.
Because that's romantic.
It's so romantic.
I'm just going to – I'm here to tell you Robbie now, Robbie, like, after, like, 3 weeks, that's not going to feel fun anymore. Like, you're going to be like, what is wrong with you? Like
– also, you're going to be like, did we burn dinner again?
Yeah.
Like, can we stop? Like,
that's just a waste of money.
That was $10 of perfectly good ground chuck that you just threw away.
It's not fiscally responsible.
Yeah. Also, I feel like this whole thing came up just so that everyone could brag about their parents' meatloaf recipes. My stepmom makes great meatloaf. Mm. I'm just saying.
I did not grow up in a house where we had meatloaf.
I did.
I don't know. I feel like Jews don't make a lot of meatloaf.
Wow, that is so racist.
Yeah, against my own people. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't grow up with meatloaf. My stepmom first made meatloaf. That was the first meatloaf I had when I was a teenager.
So
and I was like,
into it. What have I been missing
all these
years? What is
this beautiful meat melange in my mouth?
Perfect.
It had like some sort of pumpkin in it or something.
Never tried that.
They should make that meatloaf and then burn it and order pizza.
Well, maybe that's Robbie's next career move. A meatloaf recipe book.
Yeah.
Like, just a free idea, Robbie.
It would be like, can you waffle it? Can you meatloaf it? What can you incorporate into a meatloaf? I'm curious to find out. I didn't know you could do it with pumpkin.
I was surprised he didn't bring up country clubs and coloring books again.
I feel like they'd already covered that pretty
yeah,
thoroughly.
That's been done.
When we get home from the country club, before we do our adult coloring books, we make meatloaf.
What's the point of belonging to a country club if you're not going to have supper at the club?
I would eat at the club.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then,
you got to take full advantage.
Yeah. I mean, why are you part of the country club if you're not eating the food?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I hear they have great food.
Meatloaf.
At all the Dallas country clubs that I frequent.
A few people have commented that Robbie would have been there from the long haul. That's Lisa. And Courtney says, Robbie is too much. Sometimes you need to play a little hard to get.
Yeah.
He was coming on a little strong.
Yeah, she kept saying,
that's kind of his thing.
She kept saying, you're here because, you know, you said I love you to me first. I would not be encouraged by that if I were Robbie, because it's sort of like saying you were a sure thing. And that's why
there's no such thing as hard to get on The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. No such thing.
Right. You have some insight into this. I assume they encourage you to say things.
There's no time and there's no guarantees. So the last thing you can do is be like, well, you come to me. Then she'll be like, okay, bye. You know, like there's no, you can't do that on the show.
Right. So when you're in that kind of like locked box environment, are you just like, is it sort of one track mind?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, when you don't have a phone, you're like, you're staring at a wall all day dreaming about this said person.
That you've spent
like 2 minutes with. But, you know, when your dates are flying in a helicopter and, you know, I don't even remember half the dates because I just tweet the whole time. But but yeah, you're in this mode where it's like, oh, this date is so fun. They're saying everything I want to hear. I'm in love. And, you know, you could be, can be, you know. But there's no such thing as, like, there's so much pressure to move quickly because it's such a quick process.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fast. Like, if you don't say everything at the right moment, the rest of the night you're going to be thinking, oh, my gosh, I didn't say it. So he just took every opportunity to be like, I love you, which is, you know, fine.
And also Meatloaf.
And
he loves Meatloaf.
I'm going to tell you what the next 60 years of our life is going to be. I've known you for a minute, but I'm going to just tell you how it goes.
I'm going to say two things, though. I think Jordan played a little hard to get, and it worked.
Oh.
Because it made her think really hard about how much she wanted to make it work, despite the fact that
he wasn't just giving it all to her.
And she was like, but I want to make it happen with him. Also, she's like 24, 25. And he was like, we're going to have kids in 9 months plus like a week. And she was like, excuse me?
I'm sorry.
You're like, happening yet.
We need to talk about this a little bit.
I'm sorry. I don't know how she kept a straight face. That was what I was thinking.
Yeah, he's like, you will be bearing my children in
her face was just, she had this little smirk.
9 months to 12 months.
Oh, God. That was a little much.
Funny.
And then they make out on the beach and she's like, where did the time go? I always say that. Into the past, I assume. That's where it goes. And that's pretty much their date. Anything else I'm missing?
Then we move on to Jordan.
Yeah. And their date was more eventful.
Was it, though?
Yes.
Because she confronts him.
Right,
yes,
the little conversation. The
drama. Well, she doesn't really confront him. She sort of passive-aggressively lets him confront himself by saying, so, how was yesterday? Let's talk about it. Yeah, how was your conversation with my family? What did you talk to my dad about?
It was so passive aggressive. It was so uncomfortable. I was dying.
Yeah.
And then she was just like, You didn't ask. You didn't ask him.
Didn't he outright say, I didn't ask.
He said, it was weird because like all I'd ever wanted to do was ask that question. But when it came down to it, I couldn't ask in that moment. And she was like, so you didn't ask. I was just so surprised when I heard you didn't ask. I didn't know what to think. Mm. I'm so afraid. I'm so hurt and upset. She really didn't give him much of a chance to say anything.
No.
And he kind of responded with, yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah. And, you know.
Yeah.
It was the most flustered we've seen him.
Yeah. What do you guys think actually happened? Because he did sort of say, I've always dreamed. I've always dreamed of asking a woman's father for a hand in marriage.
A woman's father.
Any woman, really.
Just someone.
I think what he was trying to articulate was that he wanted to know that it was him before he moved forward.
Exactly.
Right.
With entering basically the proposal phase.
Yeah. Right.
Which I agree with.
Yeah.
And I didn't see anything. I don't think you can force someone to want to do something that they don't feel comfortable with. This isn't like, yeah, dad, I'd like to take your daughter to prom. Like, this is a big deal. And it would be hard to be like, I want to marry your daughter. I don't know how she feels about me, but I'd like to marry her. And I'd like, you know, I totally agreed with him. And I thought it's weird to put someone on the spot and kind of like beg them to do something that.
Right. It's like it was a very human moment. And then at the same time, you're like, part of you is like, but Jordan, this is how this works. And it's such a weird.
Well, that's
weird
what I struggle
atmosphere.
With on the show is like knowing what you have to do on the show and knowing what you would normally do in real life.
Right. Like, this isn't actually.
Yeah, it's something that I still can't really.
Spoiler alert. This is not how things go in the real world.
It's not how anything goes in the real world.
It is something that people have articulated in the past, though. Like, I am struggling because there is someone else here and I want to be fully giving myself to you, but it's hard knowing that you might reject me.
He did not say
that. He never says that. And you know that that's kind of what he's saying because he says, I wanted to be totally sure how you felt before I asked. And she's like, but I told you that I really wanted you to ask him. And he's like, well, but, and she's like, I told you. And now I'm so hurt and sad and that moment is gone forever. And he's like, whoa, okay, well.
And then he's like, well, I will be, I'll be on one knee. I'll take
a knee.
Which
one.
And she's like, I don't even know what if
my
you
knees
will
exist.
Anymore.
I do have a knee.
I have two knees.
Robbie said he was going to hop on a knee.
Oh, he's hopping.
Which sounded painful.
That.
Like, the knee is not meant to absorb that much impact.
I would have loved to see that.
Yeah.
Much athleticism.
And we missed it. Thanks a lot, JoJo.
I'm still angry we didn't get to see Robbie swim at all. I'm getting very excited for the Olympics. And I was like, you know, I want to see some swimming.
They did have an underwater kiss, didn't they? Did they not?
They swam, but
they did.
Not.
Oh, I totally forgot about the
underwater. And he can hold
underwater.
His breath for a long time
which
underwater.
Does make
He's
sense.
Been trained.
Also, his hair still doesn't move underwater. It's the most impressive thing.
No that flow. Could be risky for JoJo, like underwater making out. He's like holding her down. He's like, I could do
scared.
This for hours.
I
and
can,
she's
I
like,
help,
I'm not
help.
A professional
You're,
swimmer.
I'm drowning.
So Jordan and JoJo leave the day portion of the date still at odds. She's furious that he didn't ask her father for permission to request her hand in marriage. He's seems like he's been whacked in the face with a kayak paddle, which is entirely possible given what they were doing on their date, which was sea kayaking.
It did look very beautiful.
It did.
I was like, Thailand is on the list of places I'd like to go.
For sure. Yeah.
And so then they go to the evening portion, hanging out on the couch in the suite, and they're still talking about it.
Of course.
Well, you know, she had to address it again.
Yeah, she's like, that moment that I've always dreamed of is gone forever. And she emphasizes that it makes her scared and sad that it's gone forever. And that was the moment where I was like, okay, so it's not gone forever if you're picking Robbie, because that definitely happened.
Right.
So you're not picking Robbie.
So obvious.
I feel like it was pretty clear.
It was so obvious.
From the family portion.
Oh,
it was like, and I felt even going into this episode, she just seemed to like Jordan better.
Well, she found every opportunity to defend Jordan, like to her family. When they weren't giving him like, you know, when they weren't over the moon about him, but did you liked him though, right? Like he might have not done everything you wanted, but you liked him.
Yeah,
like he's a good dude, whatever. Yeah, but like, we
when
liked
he
him
was driving
better.
Off, she was like, "You did so good. Yeah, it's like, fine." Oh,
they did like great. You. They Thumbs did up. Like you as a person. You're a good person. No, she was smitten with that boy.
Yeah. So that date ends still in a tense place. He only wants to propose once because that's his parents are married. I don't know.
His parents are still married.
Yeah. He gets to feel that way. That's fine. It is a weird situation. I mean, I don't think that you should have to ask for your parents' hand in marriage. But, like, once you're doing that, it all becomes very weird to me because the whole concept of asking for a parent's hand in marriage, I wouldn't, even if that were happening, want the parents to know before I was, but then the concept rests on that, right? That you ask the parents first for permission to ask. So the concept rests on the parents being like knowing first.
Yeah.
So he's saying, I wanted to know what your answer is first, but that's not what the whole deal is with that. So
it's confusing times we live in.
He's got to buckle up and do it. Okay. So proposal day. There's some unfinished business. with Jordan.
They also look for the rings. They have a little meeting with Neil Lane.
Yes.
I actually thought Jordan went with a more understated for this show ring, which I appreciated.
That ring.
I was like, there is restraint being shown here.
It wasn't, just,
here.
Like, oh,
it wasn't
ring.
Just like maximum
diamonds. I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah, I thought it was very pretty.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is, I don't think this is hideous. It's amazing.
Kind of an oval, very pretty.
It was like
oval
one
shape.
Huge yep. oval stone instead great. Of
and then just 50,000
diamonds yeah, in a like pretty. Giant setting.
Very
yeah.
pretty.
Yeah, I was at that point, I was like, I really do hope it's Jordan so that
just
she gets
to wear
that
ring.
Just for her to
have the nice ring.
Yeah. And Robbie was like, I'm thinking of her and how she's going to
well,
be wearing
like,
this ring.
My heart is beating out of my chest. My heart will, my chest will
Hallmark.
Burst. Yeah, I was like, you have so many of these cliches.
Just a lot
it's
of feelings.
Impressive.
A lot of feelings.
The things he even had to say, like how he was picking the ring, I was just like, Robbie. You're just looking at the rings and thinking about which one you think looks
you
prettiest.
You think would look best on your future wife.
Yeah. It's like, I'm thinking about how it will reflect off of her face and the sparkles and like in her eyes and which one matches the contours of her jaw. And it's like, no, you're not. Calm down.
We need to talk about the letters.
Yes. Like, okay. Well, So first of all, Jordan, we skip this.
Oh, right.
Jordan calls her parents.
I called that at the beginning of the episode. Right when he didn't ask, I was watching the finale with two dudes who hadn't watched the entire season.
That's awesome.
It was great. I gave them a little like preview before. I was like, fill them in. I was like, you can't talk.
Yeah.
But only during commercial breaks.
No talking.
Yeah. But I like turned to one of them and I was like, he's gonna call. He's gonna call her parents
I
later.
Mean, he had to. She was having a breakdown.
My favorite part was when he was like, hey, yo, is this Joe?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh.
I was a little worried. I was like, is he calling JoJo right
Joe,
now?
Like, yo, hey, hey. This is so stupid.
Yeah, that was he took a very different approach to that than Robbie. It was like, Dr. Fletcher.
Sir.
And Madam Fletcher, Dr. Fletcher's bride.
I am steadfast in my love for your daughter.
For Joelle.
Steadfast for Joelle.
If you will give me her hand, I will keep her close to my side for eternity.
I will wrap her in a bow like the treasure that she truly is.
Hey, yo,
I will cradle her to my bosom.
I'd like to marry your daughter.
Yeah.
Just a little different.
Soraya, you there?
Soraya?
You there, girl?
You on the phone, too? Yeah. What do you
think? Do I got your permission to do this shit or what?
What do you think? Okay, cool. See you guys. Peace.
And now let me sit and compose a letter.
Yes, but he writes her a letter on an actual note card.
Ooh.
So he's prepared. He writes her a letter saying, you know, I was sick to my stomach after what happened. I just would never want to hurt you and let you down. And I did ask for permission and I'm just so excited to jump into this with
the
you.
The voiceovers were killing
oh
me,
God,
though.
I was
like,
secondhand
embarrassment. Fading from one voice to another while they, like,
I'm
pensively sit there, like, shirtless on the balcony, like,
so
looking over the edge, and then start to put their
just knowing
on.
What they went through to create. Like, I can't
watch
this anymore.
Yeah, no, I want to hear your
insights. I can't watch it anymore because all I think of is, like, how they put it together in real life and knowing, like, that they probably were sitting there doing this voiceover and, like, doing a dramatic reading. My friends and I were dying laughing. Like,
oh, my God.
That was too much. It was too much for me
emotionally. But with all that production, they couldn't get Robbie anything better than a torn-out sheet of notebook paper?
No, of course not. No.
Were they just trying to make him look bad?
But at least he had lines. I was like, that was a long letter. It would have been, you know, really difficult.
It was long. Yeah, it was
lengthy.
Very long.
Yeah, but he had a lot of feelings to express.
Well,
he just has
Robbie
so
has
many new. Feelings.
So many feelings.
I think we've decided that he has a lot of feelings.
He's very
full of
emotion.
He's a sensei.
Yeah. So she reads these letters, and she is – they should have given her these letters before she got her makeup done. She was in full sob. I felt for her.
I mean, they have some great waterproof mascara.
Yeah.
I need to know.
Also, did you notice that she had, like, stills that obviously the producers had given her of all of the moments? Like, in the last few seasons, they haven't done anything like this. They used to make all of the final two or three make like video like pitches for themselves. And it was super awkward. And this felt almost like a callback to that kind of thing. Well, like they were testing something out.
They did the videos. Then they started doing the like GIFs in the final night kind of thing. Like, oh, I made you a scrapbook. Or like I put a photo in a frame. And now, and then this season, it was different. It was just like, I'm just going to write you a letter and just give it to you.
But then we're going
to
make you all do a dramatic reading.
But then you also have to do a voice. Yeah. I can't even talk about it. I'm uncomfortable. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then the real secondhand pain comes because it's time for the proposals. And she's like, I can't. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to break his heart. And she has to do it. Here comes Robbie.
That's how the show works.
That's what happens. She's going to be upset from letting the other guy go. The other guy, he is like friends with Jordan. But like, I'm going to tell her I love her. She's going to say it back. I'm going to propose and I'm going to have a fiance. And it's going to be so great. And I just can't believe it's finally happening. Usually they come down and there's a little bit of like, I'm nervous but excited. And I can't believe this day is here. He was dead certain.
Yeah, he said something like, my love for JoJo is as clear as the diamond I picked out. It's flawless. Oh, I was like, no, stop.
And then his speech to her, he goes down to her and he says.
Also, she was smiling a little too much when he stepped up. I was like, give him a hint, girl.
I mean, like, she starts to look like she's holding back tears pretty quickly.
That's true. Once he starts
speaking.
That
might just be because he's saying things like, my future longs for you.
My heart yearns for you.
I am steadfast. I love just that word. At some point, I heard steadfast.
And you're like, that's it.
This is where we've gone to.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't get over that word.
Both he and Jordan in their speeches say a version of, I will protect and care for you forever. You will always be safe with me.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think JoJo needs protection.
I think that she thinks she needs protection. She emphasizes that a lot. I think there's a reason they both said that.
That's true. Just like JoJo,
you got this, girl. And then she finally stops him after he's poured out all these ridiculously embarrassing things. My future longs for you. I just can't.
At least she stops him before he gets down on one knee.
Yeah, she's Thank like, goodness. I can't let you get down on one knee. I don't want to
take that moment from you.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. I was really interested by the breakup. What did you guys think about how she handled the breakup? She says, I really wanted it to be you.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a line that we often hear. Like
from her, especially.
She said it a few times.
She says, I wanted to fall in love with you. I wanted it to be you.
Because she's just like, well, this is shitty. I didn't want to end up here with you or anyone else. So
I thought it was like his reaction was strange, just considering he has so many feels. And then she was like, no, it's not you. And he was like, okay.
He was pretty stoic about
it. Yeah, like I don't know. It was kind of weird. I was expecting like a tear or something.
Well, he's going to have a new love of his life soon.
Yeah. I'm not that worried about him, but
he's going to be okay. But yeah, I thought it was, I mean, the last thing you ever want to hear when you're getting dumped is like, I wanted to love you. Yeah.
But you're just
I
not.
I wanted it to be you, but yeah. You're just not.
But you're just not.
Yeah. And I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, fuck you. Yeah.
I gave you a really great shot. Yep. And nonetheless, you did not.
You still weren't Jordan.
And then she was like, I know that you're going to love me till the day you die.
Yeah, that was
also, I was like,
weird.
Well, honestly, hopefully he doesn't.
Yeah.
Hopefully he moves past this.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I hope that was just a slip of the tense. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be back in a minute with more from Olivia and some juicy behind-the-scenes scoops from Reality Steve.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all like weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I like arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back. So we get to Jordan, which is the happy part of this equation.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm just such a sucker for love. I was like, even if they only love each other right now and they're going to break up soon, this is just so cute.
Also, like, let's be real. Like, the proposal on a show like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette is just like an agreement to try it out and to date.
Yeah.
And then you see.
I liked it.
And then you also get to wear a sparkly diamond. Yeah,
he says he'll protect her forever. And then she's like, I have to tell you that I love you too. And he's so excited.
I know. I like that she said that before he got into the whole spiel.
It was great. Loved it.
Yeah.
Fan.
And he likes that she challenges him to be the best version of himself, which I thought was a sweet sentiment.
Totally.
That's nice.
Totally.
I think that can be a really healthy thing in a relationship, provided that he rises to the challenge.
Jordan, right. We'll see Jordan. We're Team JoJo here, so we want to see. Yeah. We want to see our girl happy.
Yeah, and then we're right into after the final rose.
I'm feeling optimistic about them because of what they've had to go through thus far, which I think is worse than what many couples out of the show
they
have to go
had a
through.
Really rough time, partly because of his higher profile.
Just, you know, the family stuff and the Rogers brother,
and that was
stuff,
a big part of why I think they were so uncomfortable and after the final rose. And Chris Harrison was driving me nuts.
He was going
so
in on them.
I wanted
rude
to
about
just,
it. And I I can't imagine why we would expect them to be relaxed and acting in love when Chris Harrison spent the whole time asking them, like, are you on the rocks? Did you almost break up? What about Aaron?
Like,
are you going to invite him to your wedding?
Happy.
Did you guys make up?
I was getting so
I did actually like that JoJo was pretty honest about it and said, yeah, it hasn't been easy. Like,
of course not.
All of these things, we did have rough patches. And I thought, like, I like that. I like that honesty. I like admitting, like, no, it hasn't just been, like, all, you know, the most fun ever to not be able to see each other and, like, be flown to safe houses while Jordan is on the cover of, like, every magazine.
And, yeah, that's – and the fact that they're still sitting there and trying is – it makes me very optimistic. So that's my answer in a weird roundabout
way. I think there's something to – I don't know. This is something I always kind of preferred about Jordan to Robbie during the season is, like, the fact that – you're able to say, even on the context of The Bachelor, here's something I'm nervous about or I'm unsure about in our relationship or about our future, to me is a better sign than going in hard from the beginning and being like, I love you. We're having babies right now.
I know it will be
now.
Perfect.
Because that is really hard to come down from after the show when you hit real life. And I think it's much better to ease in from a place of like, we're figuring this out. And
well,
who
and
knows
like
what
with
life's
this
gonna look
show,
like.
You kind of, because of the rushed nature, you kind of skip one of the more important parts of dating, which I think is developing a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I feel like the past couple months have been good for them as far as just talking about things. And, like, they were trying to take the steps to, like, develop a friendship, sort of, and not just be like, oh, I love you. Like, you know, let's talk about things. Let's get everything out there. Like, what do you expect out of a relationship? What do you expect as far as, like, asking my dad to marry me and things like that? So I'm all for it. I'm team JoJo. I'm team Jordan, like.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
it's great.
You know, I guess we'll see.
I liked that when she came out and talked to Robbie, and he, first of all, asking your ex who is engaged whether she still sees about a future
with
you.
She was like, no.
What?
No.
Like, that is such an inappropriate question.
It's just horrible.
I thought he seemed so polished out there, though. He was, like, very finely media trained.
Yeah, but then the things he was actually asking were, like, stop it. Yeah, but then he wants to know, you know, what really was the reason that she... And she sort of says, ultimately, like, Jordan and I just get along so well, and we're such good friends, and we didn't really have that rapport in the end.
Yeah, she said, like, our personalities didn't mesh as well as I would have wanted them to.
And that's actually a
because
pretty
they didn't have the good answer. They didn't have the friendship level. Like, it just went straight from 0 to 100 with them. Like, to develop chemistry, like, just personality-wise, like, you have to be friends. You have to be able to see, like, can we just actually sit on a couch eating meatloaf and talk about things and be friends, you
Robbie
know?
Seems convinced they can do that. Like, he was so convinced, and I was like, I've never seen you guys have a conversation.
No. Or anything really particularly lighthearted.
Well, that's why I liked, you know, when Jordan came into the house to meet her family, the first thing they said was, like, we're good at just making fun of each other. That's what's up. Like, you gotta be able to... You know, poke fun with your BFF / partner. Like, that's at least what I'm all about. So I kind of knew from that moment that they had that underlying chemistry, friendship-wise and romantically and physically. So good things. Yeah. Good
well,
things.
We have to get to Feminism Fails before the show's over. And this is where we rate some moments from the show on a scale of 1 to 5. In terms
for
of
how anti-lady they are.
I might mess this up. I'm already nervous.
It's okay. We're going to give them numbers. You're going to notice a strong theme in this week's Feminism Fails.
Yeah, it's all around us.
First of all, Robbie asks JoJo's father for permission to propose to her, but he does invite her mom to witness the request. I'm giving that a 4 because he let her mom stay in the room, which is really progressive, I thought.
But I'm just going to say love or hate it, and I love it because I don't really get the number system quite yet, but I loved that. Thank you.
Okay. Fair enough. JoJo hears that Jordan didn't ask her father, and she gets really furious. And she really doesn't care at all that her mom wasn't asked or involved. This was probably a 5 for me. I was like, I thought that this was way overblown in terms of how important it was. Like, she
Give
felt
Soraya
like she couldn't get married
speak.
If her dad wasn't asked for permission. Like, you're independent. Like, you're an independent woman.
I respect whatever you want for your proposal. I get that. But on a larger scale, when we're looking at these kind of traditions, it's like, maybe you don't need your father specifically to give permission for another man to take ownership over
you. I'm
going to
go with, like, a 2 and switch it up. I'm not a traditional dater, or, like, I don't feel the need to follow rules, but that is just one of those things, like, you gotta do it. And that's
I don't think you gotta do it.
I'm glad. This is fun.
Yeah. It's a healthy debate.
Healthy debate.
And then JoJo spends her last date with Jordan, half the date, talking about how bummed and sad and scared she is that the moment she dreamed of, her future husband asking her for her hand from her father is now gone forever.
Gone forever.
Well, but then it wasn't gone forever.
Yeah, so that.
Right. I mean, this is kind of all wrapped up in the same theme. Clearly, Claire and I are, like, over the need for asking, you know.
Just the idea that a whole relationship would be compromised by your father's permission or lack thereof is so retrograde.
Right. Like,
to
I really liked it when during Andy season, her dad was like, I mean, ask my daughter if she wants, if she's into it, then yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah. I think asking of the asking the father on this show is awkward and weird just because, like, my dad, if two
people. It's like a production.
Yeah, it's weird. But, like, in the real world, I always have trouble differentiating between this and the real world.
It's all real. It's all so real. They just document it.
You're right. There's no
what am I saying?
They don't even know the cameras are there.
It's just all real.
What am I saying?
Never mind. And finally, on a lighter note, Jordan calls the parents and asks them both for permission. I liked that they included her.
I liked that.
I'm giving that a 2 because...
I'm giving it a 2 as well.
Progress. He includes her mom.
Yep.
So that's very sweet.
2.
So we end on a sort of progressive note, relatively.
I love it.
And we have our tweet of the week. It was tough to choose just one because, mm-hmm. you know, Bachelor Nation was on fire on Twitter. but this week's is from Allie Maynard at Miss M. Ain. If a man asks permission to marry your daughter, say, she isn't a piece of property, you stupid asshole. Ask her your goddamn self. That about sums up how Claire and I feel about this tradition.
Beautiful.
Before we wrap up, Olivia,
do
you want to just talk a little bit about what you've, you know, been up to since your turn on the show? You moved to New York.
I did.
You're one of us now.
Yeah. So I moved. I celebrated my 4-month anniversary 2 days ago of moving to New York, which is I take a shot every month as like a woo, go me. but yeah, I finally found a job and I am so happy and loving it. I was about to call my mom at one point and be like, oops, psych, I can't do this. I can't find a job. But I found one, you guys. but yeah, I really have just tried to go back to normal life. And, you know, like I tweet funny jokes about the show, but like I'm not very in tune with it. Not on Paradise. Sorry, everyone.
Did they try to get you to come?
Yeah.
It was declined.
It was a couple phone calls back and forth of like, oh, we'd love to have you. And every time I was just like, no.
You're like, I have had enough.
I have.
But how are you going to find love?
I'm going to find love. I don't do dating apps. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I know that's rough in New York City, but
really is.
Yeah, no, I want to find love so badly. And sometimes I kind of feel like Robbie, I have a lot of feelings myself and I'm really excited to find the right person one day. And, you know, I babysit a lot and I totally have baby fever and like, aww. I just want to find the right person.
But see, that's nice because then you can give them back at the end of it. You're
real. Like, I loved you for 3 hours and now I'm going to give you back. So no, I'm not doing dating apps partially because someone will match with me and they'll say like, I want to see your toes or I want to see your mouth. And I'm like, here we go.
So right, I mean, look, men on dating apps are generally disgusting, and then if you've also been on a television show and
it's
like
rough.
Been through the ringer, like that's
I can't imagine
shitty.
Like my story being like I met him on Bumble, but no, like life is normal. People are really nice to me on the street. Ironically,
good.
Like it's people are starting to get the real me. I'm seeing like I get tweets all the time that are like, "Why did I hate you? Like you're freaking iconic on Twitter right now. Like you're so funny every Monday night." So yeah, like I'm reality television. I'm done with. I'm just a normal human being.
Well,
again.
That's awesome. And it also, like, honestly, watching this season, it's like if people cannot put it in perspective between the fact that they had to make you the villain and give you the villain edit, and then look at like some of the, you know,
everyone,
douchebaggery
Chad and
that we've got.
I will never date. So please stop tweeting me saying that Chad and I are
Chad
perfect for each other.
You have never dated any of the men who are
no.
on The Bachelorette this season.
No, like
so
right.
Why would he even bother?
I'm enough. Like I have never seen a tweet that Chad and I would be a perfect couple. No, enough.
You're like
them.
Absolutely not.
I just
seems,
enough. We're not
hellish.
Perfect for each other. You don't know me. My really good friend is on Paradise, and so I'm going to go to her watch party tonight and enjoy it. And then I
– Who?
Izzy.
We didn't get to see that much of her.
We're really good friends. I fell in love with her on the first night, and of course she went home, and I was like, damn it.
But I'm really excited
to like support her, and I was really happy to watch JoJo because I do adore her and love her, and it's been hard for me to watch just her, the journey that she's had to go through. I'm just back to normal. I don't know.
Now you get to be back and enjoy watching the Bachelor franchise and not worry about yourself being on it.
After watching Izzy, I don't think I'm gonna watch anymore.
it really hurt
my family, and like my sister and I live together, and she won't even be around when it's on. She's very angry. I've kind of let go of the anger, for the most part, but like. I won't watch after Izzy's season.
Seems really, really fair. And I think it's like a good reminder to everyone. The people on these shows are real people. At the end of the day,
except for Chad.
I think most people can take a little bit of ribbing, but there's a line.
Stop taking it so seriously. Like, if you can watch it as entertainment like I do and tweet stupid stuff about cheeseheads and whatever, like, that's fun. But there is no, like, there's a fine line between bullying someone on social media and just like poking fun at the situation as a whole. And like someone messaged me and was like, "You're so mean to the guys." And I was like, don't even get me started, because I have never said a death threat. I have never tagged anyone and said, "You're this or you're that." I'm just making jokes about like hair being in the wrong place or stupid stuff.
I like to think that most people can tell the difference between those two things.
You'd be surprised.
I mean, we work in online media, and it's not, the same level as being on TV, but there is a difference between saying, "I disagree with something you did," or "I'm going to make fun of like the way that outfit looked."
Or like, "You are a C word."
And I'm going to, "You deserve to die."
But life is good. Life is good. Hopefully, my love story is around the corner. I'm super
eager. You won't have to answer to anyone about it.
No. And I can like put it on social media and people will be like, "Cool, you're dating. Yeah. Yay, bye." So yeah, I'm boring.
Well, we're really excited to have gotten to meet you in the real world.
Thank
you so much.
You're welcome. This was fun.
Yeah, come back anytime.
Yeah.
Now we'll share an interview we taped with the one and only Reality Steve of the notorious Bachelor Spoiler blog. Enjoy. You've been pretty skeptical of Jordan and Jordan's authenticity this whole season. So what were your thoughts after watching last night?
I found it laughable. I mean, it's really tough for me because of all the things that I've heard and a lot of which I've shared. From the fact that this guy's name got leaked 11 days before filming began, JoJo obviously had an advantage going in because JoJo, Googled him and looked him up. And it all played out perfectly like the way the show wanted it. And it's just not believable to me. I'm not even putting all this on Jordan either. I think there's a part of JoJo that went into this just looking to build her brand and be in media and be on TV. I don't think JoJo Hannah Fletcher has any interest in ever flipping another house the rest of her life. And I'm not even going to fault her for that. I think a lot of people go on this show to build a brand and to get out of their boring, mundane job that they're in every day. This could be a package deal where these two are going to ride this wave as long as they can, but there is no way in hell these two are getting married. It's just not happening. And I can't say that any more definitively. And, I guess it's just time is going to end up being my vindication. But even when they said last night, "No, we haven't had any, fights or whatever," the fact that she admitted it's been tough is going to end up continuing to weigh on her, because the stories aren't going to end because the show's over and now that they've said they're happy. The tabloids basically reported what I've been reporting for months, and those aren't going to end. And let's see if she can eventually deal with it. I think eventually it's going to overwhelm her and it's going to be a little bit too much. It's already gotten to her. Hell, she admitted she cried herself to sleep a lot of nights. So we know it's already getting to her.
Do you feel any sort of guilt for that, though, that the stuff that you and other outlets are reporting is causing them difficulties and is causing her pain? Or do you see that as essentially not really a factor?
I don't feel guilty at all because I'm reporting what's true. And you can say, well, how do you know it's true? Well,
how do you know it's true?
Giving up sources and I'm not going to give up sources, but I know enough to know what's real and what isn't. And this isn't real. And, people can doubt me all they want and that's fine. I mean, I have no problem if people don't want to believe me and people want to believe that these two are going to be married. And Jordan said on Instagram, he's going to spend the next 100 years with her. That's absolutely the most laughable thing I've heard all season. It's stupid.
I also think, like, obviously it's, you know, fun to surmise over whether the final two will stay together, but I'm kind of more interested in kind of, you know, the way the show is put together. And you've been writing about these shows for years now, but this season, you know, what you've posted on your site actually seemed to leak into the production of the show, specifically with, you know, them addressing that Robbie's ex-girlfriend had spoken out about him. Is it just me, or was that new? And did that surprise you to kind of see it leaking into the actual making of the show?
Yeah, I did find that interesting. I think they knew, even the Jordan stuff. I mean, both the Robbie and Jordan stuff got leaked into the show. And it was obvious they knew what was being said out there. They obviously were never going to say, hey, Reality C was reporting this, because they're never going to mention me on the show, which is smart of them. But the Robbie storyline absolutely was not genuine. The stuff that I posted was true, and to see it play out, I guess if it's that egregious, I guess the show feels like they have to address it because there's so much stuff out there. I mean, every season we see the wrong reasons, contestant who's there for the wrong reasons and all that. But this season it definitely took the cake because there was so much out there with girls that Jordan has been with and then Robbie's ex. And then even Grant to a smaller extent, just because Grant only lasts 5 episodes. But, you know, I've heard from behind the scenes people that they don't think they're going to last. Like, it's just not, it's not just me. And it's not just people on the, you know, viewers of this site saying, because they're taking what I've said and using that as to form their opinion. People behind the scenes are saying that this isn't going to work. I don't think this guy is looking to be married, and I don't think he's looking to be married to her. I think this guy went on the show to increase his brand, and he's out for fame, and he's using her for it. And she's right now being sucked into it.
Well, I hope she, you know, comes out on top and gets the career she desires and a life of, I don't know, detox tea Instagram sponsorships.
I really want her to host First Look.
Yes, yeah, I support
we're
it.
All in on that.
Yeah.
You know what? It's funny. Before the season, I even said that. I said, look, I don't know what it is, but I do think she has it. I think that she definitely will end up having a job in media. And that's why she, you know, I don't think anyone goes on the show thinking I'm going to get this job after the show, but they know that opportunities will definitely come about. I mean, she was the lead of a network broadcast show for 11 weeks after being on Ben's season for 11 weeks. So we've got 22 episodes of this girl carrying herself very well on camera. So I think she just knows by taking that bachelorette gig, she knows what doors this can open for her. And she doesn't want to flip houses ever.
Fair.
Like that was just not in the cards for her. So I don't fault them for that. I don't fault anybody for taking the lead of this show. But for her, I think that she will have a good career out of this. I don't know what job she's going to get, but I do think that she will be sought after. No doubt.
Should we pivot to Paradise a little bit?
Yeah, let's talk Paradise.
We're a spoiler-free show, so I know this is going to be a little difficult, but keeping that in mind, what can you tease for us coming in Paradise? Any true love connections? Any
not
false packaged love connections?
Yeah.
We have talked about the fact that there's going to be the three proposals, so we can talk about that.
Okay, so I didn't know if I could go there.
We appreciate it.
At the end. And they will be with, people that are obviously every contestant on the show is in a former season, but everybody that does get engaged on the show is from recent seasons. So it's not going to be some kind of random from 5 seasons ago or something like that. I mean, they're all recent contestants. I think there's one that's going to be pretty obvious. There's one that's like, they probably deserve each other. And then there's one that is kind of probably one you never saw coming, but for the most part, yeah. I mean, this is, that's what this show is. It's like, all right, let's get all these former contestants who all kind of talk and flirt and sext and hook up outside the show and put them on an island and fill them with alcohol. And so let's see what happens. Let's see who hooks up and let's see who can, maintain a relationship. But once again, this show has kind of turned into a let's use this show for publicity. And it's hard to buy that these couple, I mean, it's hard enough to believe that at the end of 2 months of filming, someone gets engaged when you barely spend maybe 72 hours total with that person. Now just realize that Bachelor in Paradise is filmed over 18 days and three couples got engaged after knowing each other.
Yeah, that's wild. Like,
so yeah, 18 so it's hard days. To believe, and it's hard to buy, and it's hard to think that these couples aren't out for more than that. These couples are really getting engaged because they love each other, and more so, like, hey, I don't think it'll be cool that people will talk about us. We can possibly get appearance fees. We can get stuff. We can promote stuff. It's just so hard to take any of these people seriously because they know that stuff is out there.
Of course. I mean, the way I figure it is, like, there's a lot of ways in this world to meet someone. And, like, yes, maybe you meet someone that you actually like in this kind of situation. It almost strikes me as more realistic as someone who went to summer camp and, like, spending 24 hours a day with a bunch of people and finding someone that you like. Like, I almost realize, like, that almost seems more realistic to me to be like, yeah, we're going to date and be together after spending every minute together for 2.5 weeks than going on contrived dates once every maybe week.
Well, the show aspect of it is the engagement part. And that's why the engagement really doesn't mean anything. Basically, at the end of this show, whether it's Bachelor, Bachelorette, or Bachelor in Paradise, you're basically just choosing to continue to date somebody. But the show is essentially forcing you to use a proposal at the end because they need the viewership to believe into this fairy tale, romance. When in reality, you would not propose to somebody that you've maybe spent a total of 72 hours with over the course of 2 months.
Or would you?
On The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. Or would you? If you're crazy enough, maybe you would. So basically all you're doing is meeting somebody on this show. And you know what? And it's not just me saying that because I'm skeptical of it. You ask some of the couples that are married on this show. I've heard Jason Mesnick say it in an interview. I've seen Ali say it in an interview. I've seen Ashley and JP say it in interviews. Like, you don't fall in love on the show. The relationship starts once the show ends, and then it goes from there. You basically fall in lust. You find somebody that you really connect with and really like, but then after that is where you see if you actually are compatible because you actually become a couple that does couple things that aren't being filmed 24 hours a day and going on exotic dates. I mean, who goes on a helicopter ride on their first date with somebody?
That's not how every first date starts. I feel so, oh my gosh. I've been thinking about dating all wrong.
This is why
no wonder
so
I'm
single.
Always disappointed. Yeah. I'm like, I'm so confused. It's more sparkly when you can put a Neil Lane diamond ring on it.
I mean,
it's almost too sparkly.
Just picture last night's episode. If Jordan gets there and JoJo's there and she's crying and says she loves him and he's like, cool, let's continue to date. Like, that would be a horrible ending. Like,
I mean, we know
that.
What that ending looks like. It's Juan Pablo's season.
Yeah, exactly. He's the only one. And now it's 17 seasons in a row. Juan Pablo's the only person that hasn't gotten engaged at the end of a season. It's been 16 of the last 17 seasons have ended an engagement. And yet every season the show will try and show you a teaser or a promo like, oh my God, it looks like she's going to dump both guys at the end, or oh my God, she's going to walk away heartbroken, or he's not going to pick anybody. And it's like this.
I really want to see one of the bachelorettes dump both men. I think personally that would be satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great. I just, the show would never allow it just because it's not, they don't want their audience investing 11 weeks in a show to have at the end the girl or the guy just be like, nah, right. I don't want to date either of you. It's just like, then why did we watch? What's the point?
I think that's crazy, though, because it's drama. It's great TV for it to change the formula a little bit. To be like, what? What happened? Yeah. I want to throw something out here because I'm now a JoJoJo stan. I want them to be happy. What if Jordan went in with the wrong intentions, but it's like how to lose a guy in 10 days? And he's like, at first it was just for my job, but then I really fell in love with you. And she's like, I have to go to Washington, D.C. for a job interview. And he, like, chases after her on a motorcycle. And then they make out in traffic.
I think you watch too many Matthew McConaughey rom-coms.
Never. No such thing.
How dare you? That's possible.
I think right now, you know, they'll be fine in the short term and they'll do their media rounds. And I saw them on GMA this morning and they said all the right things and did all the right things. And, you know, I know too much about the situation. I know too much about what he's said, what he's done, stuff that he was doing while filming, while the show was airing. It's just, everything points in the direction of this is not going to end well for either of these two. I've said it for 3 months. I'm not going to back down from it.
Can you give us a little insight on what was happening while the show was airing? Because now I'm very curious.
Well, I mean, well, the stuff with the Raya account was absolutely true. He can go on and deny it all he wanted to, but he did not shut off his Raya account when the show was filming. When he got back from filming, he still had his Raya account open, which is a dating app for pseudo-celebrities. That's legit. And I know that Jordan was in contact with girls on Raya when he got back from filming. Period. End of story. So if he's doing that as an engaged man, do I think there's any hope for these two? No, I don't. But I understand where JoJo wants to believe him.
Not a good look, Jordan.
Not a great look.
No, it isn't. But I understand why JoJo wants to defend her man. Because if JoJo would have come out last night and said that she just couldn't believe all the rumors and, or, you know, or she did believe all the rumors and it just was too hard on her and she had to end things with Jordan, I think she still would have taken a lot of flack because people would have been like, oh my God, I can't believe you fell for the tabloid stuff. Why didn't you stand by your man or whatever? So that's why I expected her to stand by him. But it doesn't mean that what happened isn't true, because it is. She's just choosing not to believe it because she has been sucked into the Jordan Rogers vortex. Guess what? I just came up with that. The Jordan Rogers vortex.
Copyright that.
The Jortex.
Can I trademark that? Because I like that.
Yeah. TM.
But yeah, she's in fantasy land right now, and she's in the honeymoon phase of the relationship where whatever he tells her, she's going to buy. And she's been buying what he's been selling ever since May when they got engaged. And I'm sure she has no reason to doubt him because he hasn't done anything publicly to her. But there's stuff that she doesn't know about, and it's just a matter of time where until something hits her over the head or somebody gets to her and is just like, look, I don't know what to tell you, sister, but we're here for you. This isn't going to work out well. Aww. Get out now while you can.
Well, we are ultimately JoJo. Team JoJo, so we just, you know, we want to see her.
Yeah. We're here for you.
See her happy.
Nobody needs to go on this show to find a spouse. Like, these are all attractive people. They know by going on the show what the show can bring them. And that's why it's so hard to take any of these people seriously anymore. I mean, Robbie has been an absolute train wreck on social media since he got back from filming. Like, he hashtagged everything for the last 3 months with Team Rojo, knowing he got dumped at the end. Like, who does that?
Oh, my God.
You know, who does that? Someone who knows that he lost and he needs to brand himself. Like, I can't believe he did that as much as he did. His family was selling T-shirts with his face on the front of them with a rose in his mouth, his silhouette of his face with a rose in his mouth. Like, it's unbelievable what these people have turned into. And they're all opportunists, and they all, you know, want to do something different with their lives, and that's why they're going on this show. Not to, you know, finding a spouse is like 78th on the list of important things and reasons for going on the show, you know?
Right, which, like, yeah. Whatever, you know, live your life, take your opportunities.
His family is a little unsettling, though. They were like, if you stand in the way of our son's fame, hope, we will destroy you.
No, that was terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't think it was anything legally threatening her. From what I found out, it wasn't like they were going to say, we're going to sue you. It was just like, you better keep your mouth shut or else we're not going to keep our mouth shut and we're going to trash you too. And I think Hope just decided, look, it's not worth my time.
They were already kind of doing that.
Yeah.
I know. She was the one I felt bad for in all of this, like to have her name brought up on national television when she didn't go on the show. Hopefully people can let it go and let her kind of live in peace. And to sort of wrap up and look forward, do you have any insights on who might be the next Bachelor? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Luke. I'm pretty sure it's going to be him. Probably announced during one of the After Paradise shows. That's when they announced Ben last season. So, you know, I really think there's only two legitimate candidates they're even really looking at, and that's Luke and Chase. And I think Chase is about as exciting as paint. So, and I'm not saying that Luke is a, I'm not saying Luke is a barrel of monkeys either. But is that the right expression? Barrel of monkeys? Anyway,
it's an expression.
he's obviously very serious. Every time we saw him with JoJo, he's like always super serious and just he needs to loosen up a little bit. But he's got the backstory of, you know, Army vet, went to West Point, defended our country, got far with JoJo, thought he was the one, was stunned when she dumped him in the airport hangar. Like, he's got the perfect setup, and I don't see any. And plus, that's what I've been hearing for 6 weeks, is that that's who they want. And, you know, they'll throw it out there and they'll tweet out, hey, Bachelor Nation, who do you want as the Bachelor? They know who they want.
Right.
And it's just a matter of dotting the I's and crossing the T's and officially signing this and announcing him. But I don't expect it until end of August, beginning of September.
Yeah. So I guess we have months of a heartbroken cowboy to look forward to. Yeah.
Well, they moved on pretty quickly during Men Tell All from, do you still love JoJo? Are you still heartbroken? To, are you ready to find love? Are you ready to find love right now? And
with,
I was like,
25
here's
women.
Our new Bachelor.
The Men Tell All was another obvious audition for his Bachelor role. I mean, just the way they presented it. And, you know, Chase has one too, but technically any guy that gets the top four has the heartbreak story, because they're all heartbroken. You know, at least the show makes it seem like they're all heartbroken. So, but I just think Luke has a more compelling backstory. Like, Chase, what do we know about Chase? Like, nothing. Like, he offered me nothing about his life, his personality. All I know is he came from a divorced family and his dad cheated on his mom. Like, that's it. Like, what does he do? What are his interests? Like, he's just boring. And
fish.
I think Luke's backstory, and to set him up as this all-American boy and defended our country, and it just, he's going to be it. And there's no way they would choose Luke Chase over Luke. It's just not going to happen.
I think we agree with you. So I think we have to wrap up, though we could talk about this, you know, forever. But thank you so much for joining us, Steve. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guests, Olivia Caridi and Reality Steve. And as always, thanks to our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, remember to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating and review. We're also on Facebook, so please like us. There you will also find a live stream of today's podcast shared on our page. And you can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily Rose. Or you can always send us an email, heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow for the first night in paradise.
You can start your day off right when you find a professional on Angie to get your plumbing right first. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.